Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we thank God for the grace. We have been studying the book of 1 Corinthians. And today we should be able to conclude 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And yesterday we were able to see Paul address the issue of the resurrection body. And one of the core aspects that he was trying to tell them is that there are usually different kinds of bodies. Even in the natural today, we have bodies of fish, we have bodies of plants, we have bodies of animals, and they all differ from one another. And there are different glories. Even of the sun is different from the glory of the moon, the difference of the stars, they differ from one another. And thus he's saying, when we resurrect, there will be a difference in the kind of resurrection body that we'll have, in that whenever you plant something, it has a type of body, but then when it comes out of the ground, it is different from that which you sowed. Likewise, when we die, this body that is of corruption, this body that is destructible, shall be given a new body, which is glorious, which is incorruptible, and this new body will be spiritual. So when we die, the natural body shall be raised up as spiritual body, and thus will become life-giving spirits. And remember, the Bible says that the first man was of the earth, he was earthy, he was Adam, but the second man is, or the second Adam, or the last Adam, is the heavenly man, the man from above. He is a life-giving spirit. And everything that he does brings life. Everything that he breathes on brings life. You know, when the Bible says creation awaits in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God, that means the revealing of those who are after the order of Christ, of those who will bring life to it. Because you see, when you are born again, then you are given that ability to bring life. You have the nature of the man from above. That means the heavenly man comes to live in you, and you become that heavenly man because there is that union of being joined together with the Lord in one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So, now let us read from verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. The Bible says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." Now, what does this mean? Does it mean that humans cannot inherit the kingdom of God? No. It basically means that this body that we have, this life that we live, that we have, is not the final design of the kingdom of God. The final design of the kingdom of God is that we shall have a glorious resurrected body. And you can think of the kind of body that Jesus had when he was resurrected. He was not limited by space, he was not limited by time, he was not blocked in any place, but we see there is a glorious body that does not undergo decay. There is a body that we shall receive. But when he says flesh and blood, he also means that if we live in sin, if we are not of according to the word of God, we shall not see the kingdom of God. Remember, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it's trying to tell us flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on the incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought up to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I think one of the biggest questions that Paul was trying to address to the Corinthian church is this issue of the resurrection. Remember, there are those who are trying to teach them and to lead them astray, telling them that there is no resurrection. Why are you struggling about life after death? And Paul gave them the clear premise of our faith, that our faith is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. The foundation of Christianity is that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, he was raised the third day, and we too, when we believe in him, we die with him. We are buried with him in baptism, and we are raised up with him, and we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, all principalities. So when we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, we receive the same authority that he got, that the Father gave to him. We too receive that authority, and we are able to establish it on the earth. Now he's saying, behold, I will tell you a mystery. Now remember, Paul is one who God had revealed to him so much. In fact, he says that he prays for the Ephesian church, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And even when he was praying, he said, because of the exceedingly great revelations that he had received, a thorn in the flesh was given unto him. And you see, so this aspect of the end times is something that the Lord had revealed to him. You know, because when Jesus spoke of the end times, he ideally spoke of the things that will happen. He spoke of how one will be taken, the other will be left, and, you know, the final trumpet. But you see, Paul, through revelation, is able to give us much more clarity. And apart from this chapter, you can also read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he also speaks of a similar aspect that he speaks of this. And let's just see what he says here. He says that, behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. That means that when we are living in our current life right now, there are those among us who will not die, but there are those who have died. What does that mean? It means that at each and every moment, what we call the rapture can take place. What is the rapture? The rapture is the moment when Jesus will come back for his church. Now, when Jesus comes back for his church, first of all, there is going to be a loud trumpet of the archangel. And when the archangel blows this trumpet, there is going to be a shout. And with this shout, the dead in Christ, that means anyone who fell or who fell asleep, who died while believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and is the Son of God, will rise first. That means the dead will give up its bodies. Hades will give up its bodies. You know, the waters, the ground, anywhere everyone died, that died in Christ, maybe they were burnt in fire or they were tortured or they were, you know, buried somewhere, the dead in Christ shall rise. And the Bible says, then we who are alive at that moment, we shall also be caught up and we shall join them. That means in the rapture, the dead in Christ rise up and they are changed. And as they rise up, they are given a new body, a spiritual body, an incorruptible body. And then we who are alive at the point of the rapture also our bodies shall be transformed into incorruptible, into that spiritual body. And then we too shall go up and join the Lord in the air, and we shall be with him forever. So that is what we call the blessed hope. That is what we call the blessed hope, that we constantly must keep reminding ourselves, keep looking up to Christ, and keep believing him that, you know, each and any moment can be our final day, because the Bible tells us, Jesus said, two shall be walking on the road, one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two shall be lying on a bed, one shall be taken, the other shall be left. You can imagine how much chaos it shall be. You know, children with their parents, children are taken, the parents are left behind. Or, you know, a couple is lying together, one is taken, the other is left behind. I don't think anyone wants to be among those left behind, because what happens after the rapture is the period of the great tribulation. That will be a time of great suffering, a time where, you know, there'll be so much chaos on the earth, and the Antichrist will take over. And sadly, what will happen, anyone who will want to receive Christ after that will pay for their salvation with their own blood. That means that those who will believe after that will be killed. That is a reality. But what God does is that he rescues the church away from this great tribulation, away from this time, by ensuring that they are preserved. So when this happens, the Bible is telling us this corruptible body, this body that we have today, that goes through sickness, that goes through pain, that goes through suffering, this body that we have that is not perfect. You know, at times when you think of all the sicknesses that we are going through, you know, from time to time you find someone is, you know, is having this sickness, and, you know, they are doing their best and they're struggling this. The Bible is telling us, don't worry. This is a corruptible body. But we that have believed in Christ, there is an incorruptible body that we shall receive. This mortal body that we have shall be swallowed up in immortality. I assure you, and the Bible is telling us, and on that day, that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. When did death come? Death came in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. And remember, they were asked, did God really say, you know, that if you eat of that fruit of the garden, of the knowledge of good and evil, that you will surely die? No. The devil deceived Adam and Eve, and death entered into the world. And the Bible tells us, just as sin and death entered through one man, grace and righteousness came through one man. Just as sin and death came through Adam, grace and righteousness and peace and life came through Christ. So we can see that death that is the greatest enemy of man. You know, there is no bigger enemy of man. Have you ever thought about it? If you think it is sickness, it is not bigger than death. If you think it is poverty, it's not bigger than death. There is only one thing that makes all humans equal: death. That is the reality. That is the journey that each and every one of us will go through at one point or another. Whether it is inflicted by others or inflicted by sickness or of natural death, death is something that we will all go through. Because we are mortal, and we came, it came into the world after Adam's sin. But however, them that die in the Lord, the Bible says, we fall asleep. That means we are just sleeping, awaiting for the call of our Lord, for the trumpet call of our Lord. And when the trumpet is sounded, we shall rise and we shall be with the Lord and meet him in the air. Bible says that time we will say, death, where is your sting? Can you imagine staring at death and telling death, death, you used to scare us, you used to disturb us, you used to make us, you know, wonder, ask God many questions, why did this person go? But that time we shall say, death, where is your sting? And O heads, where is your victory? So the sting of death And this is what the Bible is trying to tell us. What brought about death is sin. The strength, the sting of death is sin. That means sin is like a scorpion, eh? It bites. Now, once it bites you, then what happens is that you die. But the Bible is telling us that, but the strength, and also the strength of sin is the law. What does that mean? It means that it's the law that brought about sin. Or rather, the law brought us to an awareness of sin. Now, all these things are defeated by the Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus teaches us to live above the law. That we're not living, you know, just ticking the box or just ensuring that we don't break the law. But we are not under the law of Moses. But we are led by the law of Christ, the law of love, the new command. There are new commandments under the new covenant. There are things that we do. There are things that God expects of us. You know, even Jesus, he left his disciples with commandments before he left. But what the Bible is telling us, that what we know, that what strengthens sin is the law. And when that sin is strengthened, that sin gives you a sting, and that sting leads to death. However, and that's the beauty of verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God. That means that we cannot be defeated. We are not yet defeated, and we will never be defeated. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means there is hope. There is victory over death. There is victory over the law through Jesus Christ. And then that is why I can say, now, therefore, when you fully understood this, when you've stopped fear of death, when you've fully understood that this is just a corruptible body that shall be swallowed up with incorruption, this is just a mortal body that shall be swallowed up with immortality, with this hope of our resurrection, can we put our hope in Christ, that Jesus has the victory and death is just nothing? It's just a face that we will overcome, and by the grace of God, we shall overcome and we shall come out victorious. Now, because of this, the Bible is telling us, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, many times whenever we do this work of the Lord, it's easy to be discouraged. At times you find you're just alone. At times it finds that it's like you're playing the flute. Jesus described it, we played the flute to you, but you did not dance. You know, we sang, you know, mourning songs, dirges, but you did not cry. You did not weep. So it's like whatever you do to people, it's like they still don't change. They still don't hear. You preach to them, they don't want to hear. You sing for them, they don't want to do this. And yet it can look like it's just a discouragement. But God is saying, look here, just be steadfast. Stay on cross. Stay on what I've given you to do. Be immovable. Don't be shaken by the doctrines of men. Corinthian church, you have gone through a lot. Be steadfast. Be immovable. And what's more important, always increase, always abound, always ensure that you are doing the work of the Lord. That means constantly be doing something in the kingdom of God. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. One of the things that we must know about God is that God is not unjust. God has never been unfaithful. Anyone that serves Him, anyone that serves our Father faithfully, there is a reward for him, both in this life and in the life to come. There is no one who has served at his own expense. There is no one who serves God and God leaves them hanging. There are things that are written in the book of remembrance. God says that let a book of remembrance be open for those who serve him, and he shall make a distinction between those who fear him and those who don't, those who serve him and those who don't. There are very many benefits of serving, and one of the greatest benefits of serving is that the Lord reminds you that your labor is not in vain. He shares his reward. And servants of God, ministers, pastors, teachers, carry on in the work of the Lord. The one who called you is faithful. The one who called you is watching. The one who called will come at a time when no one expects it. And he expects to find us faithful. And he shall renew your strength. He shall keep you steadfast. He shall keep you immovable. I pray that this word shall settle in your hearts. Let us not fear death. Let us look unto the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for today. Thank you for speaking to us in a language that we understand. And indeed, we bring the question, death, where is your sting? Hates, where is your victory? There is nothing that you can do. There's nothing that is impossible for you, our Lord and Savior, that indeed you have promised us that you have defeated death. And indeed, the biggest problem of man is solved through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May your hand be upon us. Comfort those that mourn today, those that have lost loved ones. May your hand of comfort be upon them. May your grace be upon their lives. May they remember your truth and your word. It's a moment. Let us be ready. Let our hearts be ready. I pray for our needs, those that have various needs in various parts. The Lord, you meet them, remember them, answer them, O God. May your grace and presence be with us. Keep and sustain us. We wait on you, we trust in you, and we depend upon you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.